A faith transition can be very difficult and painful, often resulting in loss of identity, community, friendships, and alienation from loved ones at times. Going through such a transition taught me a great deal about myself, those who genuinely care, my place in this complex world we live in, and the fact that I can be spiritual without being religious. Amazing things happen when we don't give up. My name is Juliana. Welcome to the Faith Transition Podcast. Thank you for joining me today, and welcome to episode one of the Faith Transition Podcast. I want to thank NRSNG for letting me use their studio to record this podcast today. If you are a nursing student and don't know who they are, you better go check their website at nrsng.com and you'll get some really valuable info and tools to succeed as a student and in your career. In this episode, I will briefly introduce myself, tell you why I decided to start this podcast, who is it for, what I will talk about, and how you can implement some of the good ideas I share. Sounds good? I'm hearing a resounding yes. I hope you don't mind a little sarcasm and goofiness, because I do believe that laughter is the oxygen of the soul. So just sit back, relax, and hopefully this will be enjoyable. I'm going to talk to you like I talk to my best friend. Sometimes we agree, sometimes we disagree, but we always have a good time together. Now, why did I start this podcast? I think that in this world, we are either observers or active participants jumping in the arena, as Brené Brown would say. And I am one of those restless people, hyper-creative, deep-thinking, who can't just be an observer. I have to throw in my two cents for good or bad. Now, I do think that in this era of information overload, there is a lot of noise and irrelevant information thrown out there every single day. So to counter that, some of us have to come out and do our best to outweigh the irrelevant information with things that actually matter. Sure, we can debate all day about what is relevant and what isn't, but ultimately we have to make choices about what we will let inside our head. A little bit about me. Aside from the fact that I have had an unusual enough life, which makes it interesting, I have been an expat since I'm 17 years old. I was born and raised in Belgium with origins from the Congo, Portugal, and Angola. After I graduated from high school, I wanted to experience something very different. So from Belgium, I flew to Washington, D.C. to do a cultural exchange program for a year. I had a friend who went from Belgium to Boston to do this cultural exchange program, and it sounded like something very new and exciting. So I decided to do it too. I took an airplane for the first time by myself and crossed the Atlantic, because if you're going to take an airplane for the first time, you might as well go far away, right? I lived in Alexandria, Virginia, beautiful suburb outside of Washington, D.C., where I was an au pair, which is a fancy word for nanny on a cultural exchange program where you're supposed to learn a language and a new culture. I chose America because I wanted to be where the movies are made. I learned English at 17, 18 years old while I was there. I thought I knew English. I thought I knew how to speak English when I arrived, because of the few classes I had had in high school and all the movies and music I listened to growing up. But it was just a tad bit different when I landed. Let me just tell you that I had lots of headaches the first couple of months from having to concentrate so hard all the time just to catch a few words. Those of you who went to the missionary training center to learn a new language on their mission know what I'm talking about. Being immersed with no French speakers around me, though, I had no choice but to learn fast. So I think it took me about 3 months to be fully comfortable with the day-to-day conversations and about 6 months to be fluent. I'm sure you can hear a little French accent when I speak, but you have to admit it's not that bad. I could be speaking like this, like Jean-Paul Gaultier, vous savez.
I remember I saw your book, I saw your silhouette, absolutely marvelous. And no, I must say, it was like she's absolutely divine, like very special and characteristic.
So you'll have to give me a little break when I make mistakes. When it comes to learning a new language fast, nothing beats total immersion, I tell you that. that year in 94, 95, I also traveled up and down the East Coast during my free time. I went to Utah, Nevada, and California to visit some friends. And I think that's when my passion for traveling began. Now, let me just give you a quick timeline just so that you can kind of situate the other information I will be sharing with you later. I worked for the Mormon Church educational system in Belgium right before my mission. I served a mission for the Mormon Church in Utah on Temple Square. Yes, I got to listen to the Tabernacle Choir every Sunday in the Tabernacle for about a year and a half. I shook hands with all the apostles, including President Hinckley, who was present at the time, in the hidden tunnels under Temple Square, where they travel with their golf carts from Temple Square to the church office building. They have all these underground tunnels. It's pretty cool, actually. I had the privilege to take Gladys Knight and her whole family on a tour of Temple Square, and that was pretty awesome. Said he's going back. She truly is a great person. She truly is amazing. She was holding my hand the whole time. She was really excited to be there. I think she was also excited to see a brown sister around. She really is cool. I'm glad she's in the Mormon Church because she really added some pizzazz and a new vibe in the church that, you know, they could definitely use. So good for her to like hold on. I don't know if she's still active or not. I think she is because she's really involved, but I think she's definitely a good influence. I was also in the Oregon Portland mission for 3 months on my little assignment outside of Temple Square to do like the regular knocking on door, riding bikes, you know, wearing long skirts in the rain type of thing. I graduated from BYU, Brigham Young University, in international politics, French and Spanish in 2003. I worked as a French instructor at the MTC while in college. I was an EFY, a Specially for Youth Counselor, for 9 weeks in a row one summer. This is all to illustrate how true Blue Mormon I was, and frankly, I had a great time doing and living all this as a believer in the Mormon faith. I got married in the Salt Lake Temple, moved to Texas. I had a beautiful boy and then a beautiful girl. Then we moved to Switzerland. Then I had another beautiful boy. Then the faith crisis started budding after 4 years and intensified in the fifth year that we lived in Switzerland. We moved back to Texas in 2015, and that summer I connected with John Dellen, who accepted to interview me for the Mormon Stories. Now, if you want to hear greater details about my story, you can go to mormonstories.org and type 555 in the search bar, and my two-part episode will pop up. It's called What Progressive Mormons Want. This interview was based on an op-ed I published in the Salt Lake Tribune back in August 2015. During that time, I had done a survey among many different progressive and transitioning Mormon groups on social media to find out what were the issues in the church they were struggling with. So hundreds of people participated when I put the survey questions out. The article I wrote was based on the answers I gathered. So the order of importance of the top 10 issues listed was not my personal order of importance, although I don't disagree with it. It was from the survey tally. Just to satisfy your curiosity, I'll tell you what were the top 10 issues I pulled out from my survey across multiple social media platforms, which I listed in my op-ed.
So that's how you define a progressive Mormon. And you have sort of, through these internet forums, gathered as much information you could to try and represent changes that you feel like the church should consider. Yep. Is that right?
Correct.
And so from that list, you put together the top 10 list of changes that, you know, you hope, the progressives hope the LDS Church would make. Is that right?
Sure.
Okay. So we can go through them now.
Well, I mean, we know it's not going to be overnight or, you know, but there is hope, you know, there is hope for change and betterment.
Sure. All right. Well, let's go through the 10, shall we?
Okay.
All right.
That's what we were doing.
Yeah. No, for those were just descriptions of progressive Mormons.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
So now we're going to go through the top 10. Okay. All right.
So number one was increased gender equality. Number two was about minorities, apologize for the racist past of the church and mistreatment of LGBT members. That's kind of lumped together in the minority umbrella. I do wish that quote unquote Lemonites were also in there and with all the lies that were told about them. Number three was accept married gay couples at all levels. Number four, permit members to openly question the authority, teachings, and decisions of the LDS Church leadership. Number five was provide financial transparency in the use of tithes. Number six was address the mistakes of polygamy and decanonize Doctrine and Covenants 132. Number seven was teach the truth and troubling facts of the church history, specifically surrounding Joseph Smith. Number eight was speak openly of Heavenly Mother. Number nine, use tithes and offerings to help the poor and needy and less on capital projects such as temple, churches, commercial buildings, etc. And number 10 was stop excommunicating people for openly questioning or expressing doubts. So these were the top 10 issues that people, struggle with at the time. And I know there has been, you know, baby steps of progress with some of it since then. I mean, that was 2015. It's 2019 now. And I'll talk a little bit later about, you know, what, you know, kind of progress they've made. Again, if you want to read the whole article, I put the link to all the articles I published in the Salt Lake Tribune during that time period when I was very outspoken about, you know, my disagreements in the notes below. I stopped going to church after some really strange conversation with the bishop in my ward at the time when we had just moved back to Texas from Switzerland. He was telling me how me and my family were not going to make it to the celestial kingdom because of me openly defying authority publicly. And woo-hoo, right? I can't remember if I said this out loud or not, but I'm sure I thought it. I was thinking if hell is full of people like me, we're going to have fun. And if the celestial kingdom is full of people like you, I have no desire to be there anyways. Frankly, I'm okay not going to Kolob. That sounds freaky anyways. And you and the Scientologists can meet there and have fun, right? So shortly after that weird encounter, we moved to Singapore for a half a year, a little after that. And it was really refreshing to be away from the Western world and its belief for a while. It opened up my mind even more to other aspect of the universal sacred, which I'll talk about in later podcast. Then we moved back to Texas again early in 2017. The biggest change after my faith crisis was my divorce, which was finalized in 2018. That was after 14 years being married. Both my ex-husband and I left the Mormon church before we divorced. Leaving the church allowed us to be more honest with ourselves and the state of our marriage. Leaving the church is not what caused our divorce. Leaving the church allowed us to not be in denial anymore. What they call enduring to the end. We decided not to do that and free each other from an ultimately too painful situation that we could not change. I know you've heard similar sad stories before, but in our case, it does have a somewhat happy ending because we have both fully come to find our true selves. I say somewhat because all divorces come with their own struggles, but in our case, we are faring pretty well since we get along and the kids are doing fine. After about 2 years of fumbling through darkness after the faith crisis, the divorce, and all the chaos and confusion that this situation brings, trying to rebuild a whole new life, really, and make sense of it all, I am at peace now. I have a good relationship with my ex-husband. My kids are happy, and really, that is what matters most to me. I have an awesome boyfriend, and things are swell. Did I navigate through rough waters while all this was happening? Absolutely. It was very rough waters for a while. But we are all at a good place now, so it is worth sharing. Again, this is all with the intention to give hope to those out there who may possibly be in the midst of the chaos of faith crisis, on the verge or in the midst of a divorce, or after the divorce and still in the confusion phase, or whatever else I can give a little hope for. Who is this podcast mainly for? It is mostly for people lost in the midst of their faith transition. I say mainly because anyone else is free to join and partake of the fun and wisdom, but who I had in mind while doing this are those of you who are still struggling as you navigate with family, partners, friends, community, who believe differently and have a hard time with your worldview changing from what they were accustomed to and are not always able to understand what you're going through and may have the weirdest reactions to these changes occurring. It takes some time to navigate through it all, and it helps to learn from those who have gone through it. At the same time, it's important to also try to put ourselves in their place, since they're still in our old worldview paradigm. I admit that at the earlier stages of my faith transition, I had a hard time with that. I was not very careful and somewhat selfish in my desire to have everyone around me see things the way I did. Ultimately, we must accept that it is a choice and we must respect what everyone's personal choice is as far as wanting to receive certain information or not. There is a lot of apprehension behind receiving new knowledge that could really change your life for better or worse. So it's important to only give what is asked and not force onto others knowledge they are not ready to receive or don't want to. I have been lost in the midst of my faith transition, in the discovery stage, the shock, the confusion, the research, trying to put the toothpaste back in the tub, trying to hold the dam exploding under me, climbing up the mudslide. I have seen all my shelves crash down and I've gone a little crazy with the chaos around me. But after the storm calmed down and I made space in my mind as I cleaned up all the unnecessary clutter, taking too much space in my mind, I got over the loss, the anger. I slowly became more indifferent and finally settled with the acceptance of what had been my beliefs and how differently I believed now. Being at the end part of the faith transition now allows me to have better perspective, and hopefully I can help in small ways those who are currently struggling in the earlier stages. Now, these earlier stages, loss, confusion, loneliness, anger, pain, loss of identity, community, family, partner at times, can be very devastating, as well as the mental and physical stress. So I will do my best in the coming episodes to illustrate what happened to me in these different stages and what helped me navigate and move on. I will give you some of the resources I used that were very helpful to me with the hope that you'll find them useful as well. I know there are plenty of resources out there and I will list some below, and feel free to also add yours in the comments as well as questions you may have. I will definitely take the time to give a shout out to everyone who has helped me in the process, either in person with the content they put out, with online resources and online communities. There is a lot available out there, but I also think it's nice to have new voices coming on. I think that the same exact message can be shared by different people in different ways that may or may not speak to you. I also want to make it very clear that this podcast will not be about bashing the Mormon faith. I have already done that in my earlier angry phases, and you can read all about it in the articles I published if you want to. I don't retract anything I said in these op-eds that I wrote, but I will choose in this podcast to focus on building strong foundations and reconstruction of spirituality, or simply finding peace of mind after a faith crisis. For the thousands of you who have watched or listened to John Dellen interviewing me for the Mormon Stories podcast back in 2015, you'll find out the rest of the story after I left in this podcast. I was on the verge of leaving the church when I did the interview with John, but I was still kind of hopeful for some miraculous changes to happen in the church. I must say, though, that one success story I have had is when I wrote an op-ed right after the policy about children with gay parents were not able to be baptized anymore. And my ex, his sister, who lives in Utah and is a lesbian, has four daughters who were active in the church at the time that policy came out. I mean, they were devastated. We were devastated. Everyone was so hurt. And thousands of people were hurt by this. And I was outraged. And so I published an op-ed in the Salt Lake Tribune titled, "Love Did Not Create This LDS Policy and It Won't Survive." And that was in July 26, 2017, a little bit after the policy came out. Now, if you've paid attention or care, you've heard that in April 4th, 2019, the church reversed the 2015 policy to reallow every child to be baptized in the church. I was like, yep, that was my prophecy that came to pass. I felt really good about that. Now, right before we left for Singapore, I fully stopped attending church and didn't really care much after that. I did write a last op-ed published in May 2016 in the Salt Lake Tribune called, titled, "What I Have Learned as I Transition from My Faith." And that was kind of like, this is it. See you. Goodbye. I had originally called it "What I Have Learned as I Transitioned Away from the Faith of My Childhood." And I guess it was too long, so they changed it to "What I Have Learned as I Transitioned from My Faith." I'll just read to you a short part that many enjoyed and reshared in different platforms. I wrote, "I jumped off the cliff I was told my entire life to stay away from, and I discovered I had wings. I started soaring, and the view from where I stand is magnificent as I discovered tastes and colors I never knew existed. Fear, shame, and guilt no longer determine my actions. The threat of eternal damnation is lost on me. I believe we create our own heaven or hell right here on earth. And if there is an afterlife, whatever we created will follow us. I am neither special nor chosen, like I was told all along growing up. I am just like everyone else, trying to make sense of this unfair yet beautiful world we live in." If you want to read the whole article, I put the link in the notes below as well. Just like in any life story, things are constantly changing and evolving. The evolving part is what I really want to share with you. What happens after 30 plus years dedicated to the Mormon faith, and how do you rebuild your life after that? I hope my personal process of finding peace of mind will benefit some of you listening. This is really for people who are a bit in limbo and still have lots of questions, not knowing how to get over the hurt and settle at a more peaceful place after the earthquake of the faith crisis. It takes some time, and it helps to learn from those who have gone through it. I do not assume that everyone transitioning from their faith needs to leave the church. I just want to encourage those who feel lost, have a hard time finding their own voice, and following their heart and mind to do so. It takes courage and strength to follow your own truth and step away from all the shame, fear, and guilt that is so prominent in religious settings. I really want to emphasize the fact that you are not alone in this journey, and there are lots of resources out there to help you. Because a spiritual journey is something very personal, I think that the transition is ongoing. We just settle into a more peaceful place as we strive to acquire more wisdom. I do realize that not everyone is at the same stage in the faith transition. This is something I'd actually be very interesting to find out, so feel free to share what stage you're in the comments below, or on my Facebook page, The Odd Mormon Girl. It doesn't matter what faith you're in, if you want to share your experience, your transitioning experience, or where you're at, I'd love to hear that. This podcast is not just for Mormons. The faith that I transitioned away from to build my own spiritual ground, it can be really any faith. So I'm interested to know if you are transitioning from, you know, a different faith, what it is. And if you don't know, if you're not exactly sure, you can also check out James Fowler's Stages of Faith, and I have attached a link below as well. So I've gone through the shock, disappointment, anger, loss, depression, indifference, until finally I found peace and my own sets of beliefs unattached to any particular church or faith. So if I can help you even just a little, if you are not at the peace stage yet, I will have reached my objective. If you have found peace, I hope that you'll still find some interesting things in the content that I will provide, and also feel free to share in the comments how you got there. Let me tell you what I'll be covering in the next episodes, and these are just a few of the topics. Finding peace of mind after a faith crisis, raising children without a church, taking care of our mental health, and specifically depression, which is a topic near to my heart, divorce, dating, taking care of our physical health, what does a healthy, happy sex life look like? And yes, I can tell you because I feel very strongly about this topic, and sex makes me happy. Happiness routine versus trying to find balance, personal continuing education, cultivating a healthy relationship with money by a non-expert, cultivating the Hakuna Matata mentality, or some call it the art of NGAF, not giving up. That's right. Feel free to comment below. Let me know if you like this episode, if you want more, what you would want me to share first, you know, what you're interested to hear. I can always change the order of publication. So feel free also to put your email in the little box below so that you can be notified when a new episode comes out. I will have occasional guests on, and I will share relevant comments and questions that I receive as well. To end the podcast, I want you to have the last word. So I will always share a thought or short story from the thousands of comments I received and emails that I received while I was actively publishing articles. And hopefully you'll be sending your thoughts and your stories as well so I can share that. I will keep these anonymous to protect the identity of the author. So here it is. I was talking to two friends about religious beliefs. One grew up somewhat Buddhist, one is Catholic, and I am a gay and grew up Mormon. We were talking about the gay issue, and my Catholic friend would not budge. He said that there had been laws and so on. We also talked about other issues, and our Catholic friends had his beliefs and he would not budge. My Buddhist friends and I were trying to tell him that he needed to leave room to bend. If you're too rigid, something will come into your life that doesn't fit your religious views and you will break. For me, it was being gay. It was so bad that on my mission, I could feel my body dying. That is what it truly felt like. And I hadn't done anything. I believed what the church said, and I couldn't be that way. After my mission, I married my best friend and realized that I had made a huge mistake. It went downhill very fast. I had to bend or I would not have made it. I have changed much of what I believe, and it has reached a point where I wonder how I ever fit into the church. I do miss being open with my friends and family about spiritual things. They never respond to me when I say something. That is bad. When you're so rigid that you cannot listen to me because I'm gay, church leaders do whatever they can to keep members from getting too close to us. Be careful not to be deceived. My parents and sisters stopped going to church because of this issue, and many others in the family. My dad just shook his head and said that they'll live to regret it. I do wish the best for members. I miss them so much. What a waste. The Mormon Church seems to passively aggressively teach that the church is never wrong and the people always are. Thank you for joining me today. Remember that life has amazing things in store for you if you don't give up. I'm Juliana. This is the Faith Transition Podcast. I will see you next time.